And welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanis, and you are listening to Midwatch with the Rev. We're running a different format this year. We're just starting off some new shows, and I have my good friend, Brother Gerald Davis, here in the studio with us. How you say hello to everybody, Brother Gerald?
Hello. Good morning. God bless you, and he will.
Amen. Amen. We are excited about what God is doing in ministry, but also just the things that are opening up out there and seeing how God is moving and touching people. We want to encourage you and put together some segments that are going to change your way of thinking, cause you to believe that God can do great things still, even today, that he can do the amazing things that we need him to do, and that we can understand that he is God over every circumstance, and that we can see things happening. But let me give you an update what's been going on with David Yanis Ministries. We have been traveling, just doing healing ministries, and we have been really encouraged. We just got back from Los Angeles, and it's amazing, Brother Gerald, just in Los Angeles, where there were so many great revivals, there are people coming to our conference just to see that miracles didn't happen versus that miracles are happening. We had a pastor there just jump up and tell me, I don't believe miracles happen. And he's there, and he asked me the simple question. He goes, do you think God can heal me? And I tell him, well, the Bible says if you believe, you can have whatsoever, because you're whosoever. Mm-hmm. And it just shocked me today to see the belief level on miracles.
Well, you know, Brother David, it's a different generation than what I came up in. Here I sit, 81 years old, been in the ministry now for 62 years, full-time, traveling, preaching, teaching, pastoring churches, doing radio, doing television, and things change. And every generation has to see the handiwork of God. It's not enough just to hear about somebody else. We have to see it for ourselves. And I just thank God that Bible days did not end at the last chapter of Revelation. They're still here. And the same God, the same Jesus, he was dead, but he lives and is alive forevermore. If he ever answered prayer, then he answers prayer now, because God doesn't change, and he loves this generation just as much as he did the one in my early days.
Amen. Now, tell him about the days that you grew up. I mean, I remember having lunches with you and visiting with you, and there were so many mighty men of miracles that when you were a boy at your breakfast table, and at your dinner table, you just see some of these amazing men.
Yes. My father baptized Jack Cole. We were in his meetings. He was a organizer for A.A. Allen's meetings, and A.A. Allen was a great miracle ministry. He stayed in our home when I was a lad, used to tousle my hair and play with me. And then, of course, Oral Roberts was during my main years of ministry, and he was the one I think that I gravitated to so strongly, because he was on television every Sunday morning. He was doing crusades constantly all over. I was able to go to, you know, some of them, and I actually walked the aisle in a tent crusade where Oral Roberts preached the fourth man one night in East Los Angeles in 1952. I'd been born and raised in preacher's home, but never heard anything like that in all of my life. So I've been influenced very powerfully by him, John Osteen, Brother Kenneth Hagin, just men that mesmerized me as I would sit and listen. So that anointing, I noticed, creeped over into my life. I noticed something from people who love to support ministries. God said this to me one time. when I felt impressed to sow into a ministry, and it was a very successful ministry, and I heard the Lord speak this to my spirit, Brother David. He said, whatever ministry you sow into, whatever anointing you sow into, feeds back into your own life.
Mm.
And I knew then that people that who love God and want the miracle lifestyle, want to walk in the supernatural, they need to connect with ministries. And I'm going to take this opportunity to say this word about David Yannis Ministries. I've listened to him preach. I've listened to his stories. I've heard him tell things that are just exactly like I read in the Bible and like I've experienced in my own early days and my own life. And he is very, very worth your support, not only for his sake, but for your sake, because you will receive from the Spirit, something that you sow in the natural. I've seen it happen many times. So money doesn't always come back to us in the form of money only. Blessings in various ways come back to us, you know, as we step into the ministries that we love and believe in. Thank God for you and for what you're doing.
Amen. And what we're seeing out there is a desperate need for hope. There's a lot of people that live in fear, brother. I don't know if you've noticed at the altars, but along with believing, there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of fear out there that people are coming up to the altars. And when I'm praying with them, I remember a church here in Humble, I prayed for so many people, and everyone said, get the fear off of me. Can you pray for fear to leave? In fact, we just got back from the Alabama Crusade, and we preached out there to the tribe. And would you believe children came running up after we finished preaching, and all of them crying about fear? Children. So what is this fear that we're seeing out there?
And well, you know, they watch television.
Mm, go ahead, brother.
They listen to the radios. You know, they hear people talking in the family rooms, mothers and dads, and children pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a spirit. There is no question about it. It is a spirit. And if God is love, then walking and getting close to God will dispel that fear. It casts out fear.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have fear and faith at the same time. They don't go together. Now, we'll say this. Fear is a form of faith.
Yes.
But it believes in the opposite of God. Faith gets moved, gets the hand of God in action for us. Fear opens the door to the devil to go into action. The thing I feared, Job said, that's what came on me. And that which I was afraid came unto me. Two times he talked about a fear that was going on in his life. And both times the things he mentioned that he was afraid of came to pass. So when we walk in fear, we're actually walking in faith in what the devil can do.
Mm.
So we rise above that by making a decision. God is bigger than the devil. God's promises are true. He will not forget us. He promised if I would call, he would answer and show me great and mighty things that I've never seen before and didn't know existed. I need to make a decision, and we all do. We will not walk in fear. When fear knocks on my door, I just send faith to answer it, and the fear walks away.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, these kids were just fearful. There was even one child in Wisconsin that said that she had a demon. Every time she went to bed, she had a demon that stood over her bed and told her that this demon was going to kill her, that it was going to kill her if she fell asleep. So she didn't go to sleep. Her grades fell apart. She'd sleep in the closet. It is coming after our children.
Absolutely. But they pick up what they hear, and what they hear goes into their spirit. And if they don't hear something positive from the Word of God, then the fear is going to control their life. And yes, it will invite demons into their life, because that's what Satan operates by,
mm-hmm.
fear. The spirit of fear.
Fear. That's the amazing thing that we're seeing out there. And we'll be right back. We're going to cut to a commercial. And God bless you. We'll be right back with Brother Gerald.
teenager easily bored? Do you have to pleasure no longer delight him? Does your teen often appear to be lethargic or even depressed? I'm Trace Embry with a tip from Shepherd's Hill Farm. There's a good chance your teen is experiencing a condition known as anhedonia. Anhedonia is not ADD, ADHD, or depression, although the symptoms are very often mistaken as such. Anhedonia is a destruction of the pleasure center in the brain, which often comes as a result of today's unbridled multitasking on any number of electronic gadgets and other energy uses. Unfortunately,
is that the pleasure center can rebuild itself, but you as a parent are going to have to be proactive.
Learn more about this topic at shft.org. Shepherd's Hill Farm is here to serve hurting families.
60 at Sports with
a second sport.
He was on the arc. He said, "You'll."
All right, we're back. We're having some technical difficulties with our commercials, so we're not going to have commercials for right now, but it's okay. That's how we roll. We don't edit the shows; they just keep going on. Now, when we were talking about fear. The one thing you got to realize is that you're not alone, that God is always with you, and that you have to, deep inside your own heart, you have to believe that God is able to take care of you and able to get you out of the circumstances. I think that's a lot of times, it seems like it comes in like a flood. And we know a flood. We're here in Houston. We know how trouble comes in like a flood. And I think that we got to realize that we have brothers and sisters in Christ that we should lean on to pray with us. But also, there has to be a fight in you. I mean, you can't always depend on just a man of God to pray for you or just one or two people to call and ask him for prayer. There has to be a stand, and you stand on the Word of God.
We need understanding. You know, if we don't see things like God sees them, then we're always going to be wrong. Because he's always right.
Amen.
The scripture says concerning this subject we're talking about, of fear. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And it hit me one day. Do you know why it's impossible to please God without faith? Because faith is what moves the hand of God on my behalf. God can't bless me in the absence of faith. Now, if that's true, then by the same stretch, fear is what opens the door to the devil to work. So it's impossible to please the devil without fear. Fear is what brings on the evil work. And the devil can't do anything in the absence of fear. That's an amazing thing that I've learned. I say no to fear. When it comes around, I just say no. I will not be afraid. What can anybody do that God can't fix or straighten out or take care of? And he will. So he causes all things to work together, even that appear bad. He causes them to work together for our good. The floods and the storms that have come, you know, some people think God sent them. I don't know. You know that's true, but I do know this, that God can take anything bad and turn it into something and make it happen for good. So benefits are involved in everything that comes our way, whether it doesn't appear to be good or not, has nothing to do with it. That's why Jesus said, judge not by appearances. We judge by the Word of God and by his Word alone.
Amen.
And that's the thing I can always depend on.
Amen. And when you start believing, it's this precept upon precept, line upon line, as the Word of God says, you start building your faith. Now, I have a lot of people come up during our prayer line just to get prayed for, and they have some faith. They have faith. And when I get near them and we start praying, their faith is ignited. They get excited about what God's about to do, and it produces what they need. Now, you need to be able to produce that kind of igniting just on your own. You need to look at your finances and know that they're going to be blessed. Now, you got to sow for you to reap. You got to be able to give to make God love the cheerful giver. And I believe my brother told me this scripture, a liberal soul is made fat. And we all know what fat is. But I want you to share, Brother Gerald, just a little bit about how faith and finances combine.
You quoted that verse, and it's one of my most strengthening statements from the book of Proverbs. When he said, the liberal soul shall be made fat. I know what liberal is. It means you're not stingy. It means you're not afraid to turn loose of a dollar. It means you're not afraid to smile if somebody else is frowning. A liberal soul will go the second mile. A liberal soul will always do a little more than is required. A lot of people, when they tithe, they make their check out to the penny. But the liberal soul will make his check out to the next dollar above, or five. He does more than is required. And if a person gets in that mindset and starts thinking that way, the scripture said he shall, not maybe, not possibly, he shall be made. It takes all the question out. He shall. Now then, when he said be made, that implies to me that somebody else is going to get involved and make it happen. The liberal soul shall be made. Be made by who? It's got to be by God. I don't know. I don't know how it all comes and how it happens. I just see the, I can't see the wind, but I can see the leaf blowing.
Amen.
You know, so I see the results of when my liberal attitude, my liberal soul kicks in and starts living that lifestyle. I see it. And of course we know what fat is. Fat is more than enough. Fat is excess. Most of us have a little bit around our waist that we could pinch up. Fat is something you could lose and not even be hurt by it. Now, that's a strong, beautiful, wonderful thought. God will give us more than enough. Fear not, little children. It is the Father's good pleasure to give good things to them that love him. But we have to get into the mindset that God is in. He gave when we didn't deserve it. And because of what he did when he gave Jesus, who died in our place, we now have life because he gave his son in death. We always come out on top when we have that mindset and are liberal in our attitude toward helping others. You want $5? Here, how about 10? You want me to walk you to the corner? How about I walk you down to the end of the block? The liberal soul will go a little farther and do a little more than just what is required to do.
You know, Gerald shared me with these principles years back, and I was at a spot in my life where things were starting to move, but it seemed like something was holding it back. I didn't know where. And he has a book called How to Function in This Economy, and you can get it at geralddavis.org. And it's one of the most amazing books that just teaches churches, businessmen, just everyday folk like me and you, how to give and expect God to give back. But also, it puts the belief behind the giving. You got to believe that God's going to bless you back. You got to trust that he does.
Brother David, there is a story that I had a hard time believing. I was teaching out of that book on television, and I got a request from a woman who wanted to buy the book. I did a series out of it. And so I sent her the book. Next thing I know, she gets back to me and she wants a box of them. And I said, well, ma'am, if you're going to buy them by the box, I'll give you a bookstore discount. She said, no, sir. Since I've heard those things and read those things, it has so changed my life, I want to start giving those books away to different people. She said, when I heard you teaching, I was at the point where I was asking God to just take my life. She said, I really did not want to live anymore. My husband had left me. My children didn't want to be around me. I'd pulled the curtains. I was in the dark. And I just was praying, God, take my life. She said, I was making $600 a week, I believe she said. No, a month. Making $600 a month. And she said, I turned the TV on and saw you teaching and bought the book. And she said, it has so radically changed my life. You probably will not believe me when I'm telling you what I'm going to tell you. But she said, inside of 8 months, I've gone from $600 a month to $30,000. Mm. And I said, whoa, what did you say? She said, I told you the truth. And I said, ma'am, what are you doing? She said, well, I'll tell you that a little later, but I want to get another box of those books. And that's why she called. So I sent them to her, and she would not take a discount. She said, God has been so good to me, I would not begin for a moment to start cutting him short. I'll tell you, I'll pay you the retail price of every book in that box. How many's in the box? And I told her, she said, fine. I'll send you a check if you tell me you're going to send the box of books. I said, we'll do it. So we did. Anyway, that woman ended up calling me one day and wanted to know how much I owed on my home. And I said, well, it was about 2 years after she had gotten into that book and those principles that God had showed me. So I told her, and she said, good. That's about what I was hoping it would be. If you can come by my office Monday, as on a Saturday, she called. Said, if you can come by my office Monday, I want to pay your house off. And she gave me a check for more than $10,000, two checks together, and cleared my house. Good things happen when we get in the mindset of God and become a liberal soul. She did, and she was sponsoring. She was giving money to people and helping people all over besides giving those books away. So good things come, and it's there for all of us, every one of us. I'm out of debt today. I got out of debt in 1988. The last time I had to borrow money was in 1987. It's been 30 years since I've had to borrow a dollar. I have nobody committed to me that owes me any money as far as, you know, stuff I do for them,
yeah,
and
definitely
money in return. That, you know, it's just, I've been a traveling ministry and traveled all over. I've done lots of missionary work. How God does these things is not my business. Is I like the way one black preacher told it one time. He was preaching so anointed. And he said, you know, let me tell you how faith works. He said, if God tells me to run and jump through that brick wall, he said, it's my place to do the running and the jumping. It's his place to make the hole. And I thought about that so often. Sometimes you think you put yourself maybe in a point of jeopardy by doing something God tells you to do. But it's like the widow woman, you know, that gave her last bite of food to the prophet. Next thing you know, she's got food when nobody else does, and enough to take care of not only her and her son, but another full-grown man in his ministry. How you figure that? Nobody can understand how God does these things. But the barrel will not run dry, and God will cause it to overflow. He said, I'll bless you till you don't have room. Don't have room to receive it. And I understood by that, he's talking about we'd have to expand, build bigger, hire more help, buy more computers, get more software. We'd have to expand because God's blessings keep coming, and we have to make room for it.
Amen. I know Gerald shared that scripture to me before as well, and that is that God's blessings will overtake you and that you will have no room for it. And I found that out when I was we're in one house, and I was getting so much stuff for the ministry, so much stuff for the house and stuff people were giving me, that we had to get to a bigger house. And it's still a modest house, but still, now we're getting to that same point. And even from next door, where we used to have just a couple of rooms, we had a couple of rooms around the entire radio station, entire TV station. But the vision was bigger than the rooms. And we needed a place for a studio. We needed a place that we could have people come in and take in the show. But also, God was opening up the door for us to start holding monthly healing services. So we got into a church building, and the whole sanctuary is actually the studio, and all the little offices, It's been a work good year of working on it, but we've got all everything every room we're using. We're sitting right now in the radio room, and we have a TV setup room for doing the hosting the shows. And so I understand about the concept that God will add more than you expect, but we should expect big. I was listening to A. Allen the other day on a YouTube, and it was something that I love what he said. Think big, talk big, and walk big. that's just Allen in a nutshell.
I like the way God said it, and it just now comes back to me. God said, open your mouth wide, and I'll fill it.
Wow.
In other words, you can't talk bigger than I can fill it up.
Amen.
You just can't.
Amen. Amen. And we look at these things, and we have to realize that God wants to give us things. This is the time that we need to be shining. Look at all the dilemma that's in the world, all the fear that's in the world. That's why we're the salt of the earth. That's why we are the ones that are light, that can't be hidden. That's why we're the ones that have the ability to pray, because others can't. Others can't reach heaven because they may not have the relationship with God. But you can reach heaven for someone. You can reach heaven for someone. You could reach heaven for yourself and for your family. But it's amazing to see what God does when you just go openly, not expecting anything else, but just to pray for other people. I experienced that this last weekend. We didn't take any book table material. We didn't take any offering envelopes, Brother Gerald. We just went. And partly because we forgot the box, but the other part, to be honest with you, the other part is because we want to be a blessing. We didn't want them, this is our first time meeting this tribe, and we want them to know that we're there to bless them. We fed them. We paid for the food. We had people cook it, and we went there with open arms and just loving them. And God touched them. So many people got healed. Deaf people, a lady was deaf in her ear, she got healed. A lady that fell down on the ground and been hurt for some time, she got healed. Another lady was battling some stuff from childhood, she got healed. And the person that actually was the voice to get us in that building, she got healed. God was healing people, and all these children, little girls ran up and asked to receive Jesus. Before we even did the altar call, they're asking us if they can receive Jesus already. They were crying. That was the Holy Ghost on top of them.
Amen.
But see, God does something special when you go to people just for God's sake, not for any other sake other than God and saying, Lord, I trust you.
When we move, he moves. When we work, he works.
Amen.
God spoke to me one time. I was really ready to throw in the towel. I had had it. I was just tired of what was going on, and I was ready to just toss it. I told God, I just can't handle this anymore. And the Lord spoke this. I heard this in my spirit. He said, I won't quit if you won't. Now what do you do?
Amen. Amen.
So you just pick up your stuff and get back in the traces, and next thing you know, God shows you a miracle. Something happens.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. You know? And I think I can sense that God opened up some doors there, but also right after the meeting, get this. Right after the meeting, one of the elders that just arrived back, and he's a Christian, and he's a preacher for the tribe. He's going to take us to four different tribes around the U.S., four of the largest tribes, that we can go preach healings and miracles. And it was God's timing, and I knew that I just didn't feel to take anything. Even though we forgot the box, I was contemplating it. But it was a good thing. He said that people are going to see that we came there and we were a blessing, and we weren't asking for anything. And that's going to touch the people further than us coming in there and asking for stuff. And so what did God do? God, not only did he heal people and touch people, bring people to salvation, but he also opened doors, and we captured the heart of the people by just being a blessing. And that's what you have to do.
You know, Solomon, in his wisdom, said, as in water, face answers to face. In other words, like mirror. As in a mirror, a water, face answers to face. So is the heart of a man to a man. When you move into a liberal soul mentality, people sense that spirit coming off of you, and it starts moving in them. They Amen. Begin to develop that attitude. You know, God, like something that you've quoted that God gave to me, he said, if you'll always concentrate on being a blessing, you'll seldom have to pray to receive one.
Amen.
I think too many times people are overriding the liberal soul mentality and have the get it mentality. How am I going to get it? God, I got to get it. Can't make it without money. What am I going to do? Where can I turn? God, I got to get it. And what God is saying is, if you could turn it loose, I could give it to you. You got to open your hand to turn it loose. And when you open your hand, God can fill it up.
Amen. Amen. We'll be coming back in a little bit, but we're going to let you know that we love you. God bless you. And this is going to be a series that we're continuing this month with Brother Gerald. God bless you. We'll see you next time on the Midwatch.
If you don't mind. I'm not going to be able to do that.